Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We have words from Jesus Christ recorded in Luke chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? But he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, friend, covetousness is defined to us in the Bible as sinful. It's defined to us as an attitude of an insatiable desire to gain, to be greedy of gain, grasping and seeking to get and to have. It means to earnestly desire, even to an immoderate and excessive desire, especially when it's related to the desire for money and the things that money can buy. However, we must remember that the use of the term covet is not always in the sense of a fault. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, But covet earnestly the best gifts. And later he said, Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Now, these gifts of which he is talking about were to be desired, because they would provide ability to further the cause of Jesus Christ. But in our study, we're going to use the term the way that it is most frequently used, and that is in the sense of sinful and excessive desire for material things. And this is something that confronts us all, if we'll be honest to consider ourselves. Covetousness is denounced and forbidden by the Lord in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. In Romans chapter 13, thou shalt not covet. Now, whatever this involves, it's forbidden. While covetousness is blessed by the wicked, it is abhorred by the Lord. Psalm 10 says, For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. An inclination to covetousness is opposite of the ways of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, Make me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart to thy testimonies, notice, and not to covetousness. God's people, both past and present, they strive not to be covetous because God does not and will not permit faithful children of God to be covetous. Such a heart would becloud their judgments and the decisions of those who were chosen to be leaders. The rulers over Israel were not to be covetous. Exodus 18 says, Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And likewise, those who rule over the Lord's church today as elders or bishops, they're not to be covetous people. In the list of the divinely noted qualifications of those who serve in that capacity, we learn that they're to be not covetous, not given to filthy lucre. So covetousness is to be shunned to the extent that we, as Christian people, are not even to keep company with those who are covetous. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12 says, But now I have written not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be covetous. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, But fornication and all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Friend, covetousness is a matter of the heart. It lives in the heart. It begins in the heart. It produces evil by corrupting the heart. and then that in turn will corrupt life. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men perceive evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within," Jesus said, "and defile the man." It was because of covetousness that Ananias and Sapphira lied both to men and to deity about their contributions to the church. It was because of covetousness that Achan stole that which belonged to the Lord's treasury after the conquering of the city of Jericho. It was because of covetousness that the unjust steward defrauded his master and, without discretion or authority, reduced the indebtedness of those who owed his master. It was because of covetousness that Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It was because of covetousness that Ahab was a miserable man, and when he took Naboth's vineyard away from him. And it was because of covetousness that the man named Gehazi, who was the servant of the prophet Elisha, brought disgrace and leprosy upon himself, lying about his actions, seeking gifts for himself from Naaman under false pretenses. Yes, it was because of covetousness that Lot chose the splendid fields which did lie toward Sodom, a city so wicked that God eventually destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And Lot's wife, looking back toward the city that she must have loved, was turned into a pillar of salt. Proverbs 15 tells us, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Oh, how many modern homes today possibly are disturbed because of the greediness on the part of maybe husband and wife, as well as children. People would be less covetous, I think, if they could realize the folly and the vanity of covetousness and the emptiness of the things that he covets. Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Do many of us live as if everything depended upon what we have and what we get and what we own and what we say we possess and what we think belongs to us? Do we not realize how temporary these things are? But we are but temporary stewards of what we call ours. And Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Gain does not satisfy even once obtained, Solomon tells us. He said, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Now, these words came from an inspired man whose material wealth was immeasurable for abundance. If wealth could satisfy, Solomon should have been satisfied, but he was not. Job was once wealthy, then he went into poverty, then he was wealthy again. But he said this, "If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, 'Thou art my confidence,' if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I have denied the Lord that is above." Paul told Timothy, "Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." And he warned, "But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Now notice, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Not money, the love of money, "which while some coveted after, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Well, we need to ask ourselves what is most valuable to us. riches that perish, or salvation in heaven for eternity. Again, emphasizing the sinfulness and the folly of covetousness, we read such words, "Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth." In verse 5, he defines covetousness as idolatry. He exhorted that covetousness, along with other sins, be mortified and put to death. He said, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Those who are covetous are disobedient to God. Covetous is a trait of the old man of sin, which Paul says was to be replaced with the new man of righteousness. Covetousness was not a problem simply with the rich, but it's also a problem with those who do not have riches. But it is a problem of the rich. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Yes, this was a problem for the one that we call the rich young ruler. He was covetous. And if we take close notice, we will also notice that those who are not rich can also be covetous. Covetous is a sin that is committed by both the haves and the have-nots. And we should desire freedom from covetousness, dear friend. Such freedom has been attained in the past by the noble people of God. Abraham, upon delivering from the king of Sodom, took no spoil from him, even though they were offered, because he coveted no man's possession. Paul was free from covetousness. Our prayer should be like this: "Remove me from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with goods convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Friend, we neither want poverty nor riches, but sufficiency. Sufficiency is just as adequate as an abundance anyway. And our Lord knows what we need. He's promised to provide for those who seek him and his kingdom first. Paul urged, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certainly we will carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Friend, will we give heed to the teaching of the apostle? Will we listen to Jesus as he looked upon the material things round about? Now, the material things are not sinful in and of themselves. Unless we use and desire those things and make those our first goal in life, that's the priority sometimes that people place on having and getting and holding and grasping. They think that that's the goal of life. That's not the goal of life. Those sort of things can be helpful. They can be useful. We can use them properly. But if we have that inordinate, moderate, excessive desire for material things, we jeopardize our own soul. We need to pay attention to the fact that we live in a material world. But the material world is not primary with those who follow after Jesus Christ. We're more concerned with the things of the Spirit. We're concerned about the things of the here and now, but our emphasis is upon that which comes after this life is over. And there is a life that's coming after this one, dear friend. Put your emphasis, put your priority upon the things of the Spirit, the things of God and your relationship with God. And as for the material things about, listen to Jesus when he says, "Beware of covetousness." We're glad that you're listening to our program. This is A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.